is your host, TJ Buffenbarger.
Hello, world. Welcome to another edition of the TJSlideways.com podcast, coming to you here from the Engine Pro Studios, just outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Tonight, all of our guests will appear on the Specialty Fuels and Logistics Hotline. If you enjoy our podcast, or even if you don't, make sure to rate us on Stitcher and iTunes. You can also interact with the show via social media on Twitter, at TJ Slideways, our Facebook fan page for TJSlideways.com, and also via email, podcast@TJSlideways.com. Coming up a little bit later in the program, we're going to have a couple of drivers on. Jimmy McCune from the Must See Racing Series, going to talk about their season opener down south this coming weekend, Anderson Motor Speedway in South Carolina, also the famous Hickory Motor Speedway on tap for the Must See Racing Crew. So Jimmy McCune will join us. Also, Scotty Thiel from the IRA Sprint Car Series, IRA getting ready to start their 50th season of racing, and Scotty will join us to talk from a driver's side, promoter side, and about what his plans are for 2016. Then we're going to finish the show up, talk some Knoxville Raceway with Bill Wright. Bill Wright's going to be coming on with us from the Knoxville Raceway to talk about their season opener. And our return to regular podcasting, we hope to have a bunch of stuff to talk about, but Mother Nature kind of wiped us out. But we still have a few things to cover that happened over the weekend.
The latest dirt.
Here's the latest dirt from the weekend. It's good to be back here regularly on the podcast. And as I said, we hope to have lots of stuff to talk about. Mother Nature was not nearly as enthused. 55 events canceled or postponed over the weekend. Brutal weather all over the country here in North America, New Zealand. Yeah, I even joked on Twitter, once Lincoln Speedway canceled, we were done for. I mean, that was it. And then Calistoga fell on the West Coast, and pretty much everyone got wiped out. But a few places did manage to get some racing in. The United Sprint Car Series down south went unaffected and came up with some of the best storylines of the weekend. Danny Smith, for the 42nd consecutive year, won a feature event. He won the USCS feature Friday at the Carolina Speedway in Gastonia, North Carolina. That's an astronomical streak. I mean, it's just amazing. 42 consecutive seasons with a feature win. Saturday, the other half of the interesting story, Trey Starks, a Washington State resident, picked up the USCS feature win at Lancaster Speedway in Lancaster, South Carolina. Now, Starks does have a ride down south that he periodically goes down there and drives, but it was just kind of interesting to see Danny Smith winning the first part of the weekend, and then a kid from Washington winning the second half. The Nebraska Sprint Car Series kicked off their 2016 season. Heavy hitting field at I-80 Speedway Saturday with Dusty Zomer picking up the win. Brad Loyette picked up his second consecutive feature win at the St. Francis County Raceway in Farmington, Missouri, topping Brian Clausen for the victory as Clausen continues his march towards circular insanity, looking for races to run. Went to Oklahoma Friday and Missouri on Saturday. Sunday, Central PA did manage to get some racing in over at the Susquehanna Speedway. Greg Hodnett gained the victory there. I think the biggest story, though, is that facility. Susquehanna on the rise. Lots of improvements over the offseason, and there are people to watch out for there at Susky, man. They really have their act together. Beautiful-looking facility. If you ever think it doesn't matter if you paint the walls and do the little, you know, touch-up things to make your facility look nice, just look at the social media photos from Susquehanna, and you'll see how nice the facility looks. Skyline Speedway made the decision to push their Friday program back to Sunday afternoon and managed to get it in with Corey Crabtree picking up the Ohio Valley Sprint Car Association victory. So that's going to finish up
the latest dirt.
And Mother Nature's still the big winner. 55 feature events in one weekend wiped out by weather is just unbelievable. But it does set up some interesting things for the weekend, which we'll talk about in our fourth and final segment tonight. And it was just amazing here to see the snow. I mean, it's not that unusual to get snow in Michigan in April. I mean, it happens here. But, I mean, we didn't just have a little bit of snow. We had a lot of snow, like 5 to 7 inches of snow. That is not a typo. 5 to 7 inches. But thankfully, we've had a pretty mild winter, so hopefully it didn't put racing facilities back too far in their preparation for the season. There was going to be a very important tune at the Crystal Motor Speedway this past weekend. It was going to be the first weekend where the new sod tire was going to get tested out. And I know a lot of teams were looking forward to going up to Crystal and getting that test in. Unfortunately, that also fell victim to the weather. And pretty much we all sat around watching golf. I mean, that's pretty much what we ended up doing. Starting about Wednesday or Thursday, it was kind of interesting. We always plan for the website what we're going to have here on the front page and the top stories and stuff. And from about Thursday to approximately Friday, right about race time, so right about 8 o'clock, man, it was a flux. I mean, we were digging to find the back end of how we were going to lay out the website for the next day. And it's one of those things you don't see in the background. But when we have massive rainouts like that, we still like to present something to all of you to get up and read in the morning. Cause it's kind of depressing just to see rainout. If we could have filled all 15 front page slots with rainouts, but we didn't want to do that. We wanted to put actual racing on the front page. So we scrambled around, got everything kind of in order, and were able to produce that. But it's interesting trying to put that together week after week and seeing how that goes together and how we're going to put all the pieces in place. But when a rainout, it's interesting on normal week, but when you have a rainout involved and the amount of them we had over the weekend, it just really messes with everything. And this was supposed to be our first weekend out at the racetrack. We were supposed to make our way to Attica Raceway Park Friday and Saturday for the Spring Nationals. That has been rescheduled for Friday night. The All-Star portion of that program will be Friday, setting up a three-night swing for the All-Star Circuit of Champions. And I believe Bob is going to go down there. Mudclod Bob will be hanging down there. I have work commitments. I will not be down at Attica this weekend, unable to get away for the weekend. But we're going to send him in place to cover the rain date. He'll also be going out to Fremont Speedway on Saturday. So we'll have full coverage from the openers at Attica and Fremont. And special shout out to Serena Dahlhammer, too. She sent us a bunch of photos from her New Zealand and Australia trips earlier this winter. And we got them right before Chili Bowl. And the kind of funny story, I didn't know they were there. We have a server where people upload pictures for the site. And I accidentally missed them during Chili Bowl and noticed they were there after the fact. And I told her, I said, well, we'll save these for a rainy day. I didn't expect quite the rainy day we had, but it was great material to look at and kind of brightened up our rainy weekend. Look for the second half of those later on in the week. But we posted the New Zealand leg of the trip and some amazing images. So if you go out to the website, to tjsideways.com, go into the photo gallery section, and you'll see her hard work from the past year looking at those images. And that's pretty much what we had to do all weekend. I mean, we were just scrambling to get stuff around. Can't imagine what some of the promoters and stuff were going through with the messes they had with various things. But that was our weekend in a nutshell, and it is time to take our first commercial break. But a little bit later on in the program, we're going to have Jimmy McCune on, and also we're going to talk about some pavement sprint car racing with him. He does it all. Non-wing, winged, had a great season in 2015. We're going to talk to Jimmy and figure out how he is going to follow that up. So Jimmy McCune after the break. You're listening to the TJSideways.com podcast. Stay tuned.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
The must-see Sprint Car Series is back on MAB TV. 7 races, including the Little 500. It all starts Thursday, May 12th, only on MAB TV. For more info, visit MustSeeRacing.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Blade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
Thank you, Beth. Joining us now on the Specialty Fuels and Logistics Hotline, a driver that had a tremendous 2015 season, looking to do so again this year, kicking off his year at the Must See Racing Sprint Car Series, heading south this weekend, Jimmy McKeown joining us on the line. And Jimmy, thanks for taking time out of what's got to be a busy time for you, getting ready to head south this weekend.
Yeah, it's been pretty busy, and thanks for having us on.
First of all, quite a year last year, by my count, 11 feature wins, winning, non-winning, it didn't seem to matter. Quite a season last year. It was just unbelievable to watch.
Yeah, it was a great season. I don't even know exactly where to begin with it, but, you know, we ran as many races as we could, winged and non-winged, and a lot of things fell our way, and we just had fast race cars all year too.
And you not only did it with one car, you did it with two a lot of the time with your nephew racing as well. Is that the plan again this year, is to have both cars running?
No, we are. Anthony's kind of taking a hiatus, if you will. Kind of maybe even retired from racing at this point. I'm not sure exactly where he's at with his racing career, but. The plan right now is just to run one car and run winged and non-winged, and then possibly one of his younger brothers may step into a car within the next year or so. We're going to get him some seat time, possibly with a Canyon car this year, and then maybe towards the end of the season get him some laps in the non-winged car.
So now that you're going to do the one car, is that going to affect your schedule at all? Because I know you were doing quite a bit of racing for him as well. So are you going to keep the same aggressive schedule, or are you going to scale things back a little bit with just the single car?
No, I mean, you know, providing business goes well and, you know, we've got the funds and availability to do it all, we'll kind of run the same program as we always have. The only year that I didn't run a whole lot was the first year that we ran him. And I just went along to kind of, you know, help him along the way and get him, comfortable in the sprint car. Plus the fact that I didn't have a non-wing car for myself at that point because he was driving it. But that was our goal last year, was if we were going to be there and run a non-wing car, we're going to run two of them. So same difference. I don't think we'll taper anything off of our schedule. We'll be able to do the same thing that we always do.
Jimmy McKeown joining us on the Specialty Fuels and Logistics Hotline right now, talking about the 2016 season, getting ready to kick off. A couple of interesting venues: the Anderson Motor Speedway, not the one in Indiana, the one in South Carolina on Friday, and then the Hickory Motor Speedway on Saturday, kind of getting a famous racetrack, getting things started. What are those two tracks, if you have any, I don't recall if you've been to those two places or not, and if you have, is there anything you can compare either one to that we see up here?
We ran Hickory last year. I've never been to Anderson, South Carolina. So it looks like semi-banked, nice 3/8, kind of maybe a toss-up between a Springport and a Lasso, something like that. And then, let's see, Hickory kind of reminded me of the old Plymouth. Kind of round, didn't have a whole lot of straightaway. Seems like you're constantly turning. But, they're both unique racetracks in their own, and, I think it's going to be a great time. I mean, everything that must be done to put this series together and the Southern, Spring Car Shootout, I think it's going to be a great program for both the North and the South when we do all these races.
Now, one of the big headlines in that series is always Dick Meyer's magic car that's like 30 years old, but your car is not exactly a spring chicken either, which brings me to the question, how come it seems like pavement teams get a lot more life out of a sprint car? What is it about pavement sprint car racing where you might see a car have a longer shelf life than perhaps a dirt car?
Well, I mean, the dirt cars, they just, I'm not sure exactly how I want to put that, but they build them a lot lighter and with a lot, and as far as I'm concerned, less tubing in the car. So they get the flex and things that they want out of a car to hook up on a dirt versus what we do. And everything's a little bit more heavier duty, a little bit more durable for the things that we do. I mean, our car was, I think it's 12 years old now. So, and of course the 50 car is considerably older, but if you build them right, and especially for the asphalt, I mean, we always build everything for strength.
Jimmy McKeon joining us on the line. And when you do have a car that works like that, how much of that, of course, is the durability? How much of it is the fact that you've got the thing so tuned in that you don't want to have to worry about dialing in another car?
I don't know. I mean, to be honest, we're constantly changing and trying to evolve and make the car faster, perform better. And, I don't think it's ever a non-ending process. I mean, we've changed things over the winter to try and progress and get our car faster this year. I feel like if I don't try to do something to better myself, whether it's an engine or, something with the chassis or something with, any of the mechanics on the car or shops, if I don't do it, somebody else is going to do it, and we already know that they're doing it. So we just kind of try to keep up and make ourselves better for from the previous year.
Now, 2016, you mentioned you're doing some winged and non-winged racing. Will the non-winged portion include the Little 500?
Yeah. We've got another car together for that race. And I think we're going to go over there on the 23rd. It's actually the car that Anthony was driving. We've kind of went back to the yellow and made it look like my other two cars. And we're going to run that the Anderson race on the 23rd and kind of tune it in for the Little 500 and see if I like that car. And if I don't, I've already got the one that I ran there last year. So kind of a work in progress, kind of want to get a feel for the shock package this car had and the engine and see what I like, versus the other car and base it off that and make a decision for the 500.
Another thing that seems to be kind of happening in the non-wing or the winged part of the pavement sprint car world is trying to get some of the rules evened out across the country. And one of the ways they're doing that is doing some engine restrictors with the fuel injectors and whatnot in some of the series. What are your thoughts on running the injector or the restrictors on the 410 engines? Do you think it's a good idea or not?
I've never been an advocate for it. I think it's a waste. We built these 410s for a reason. They got a big giant injector on there for a reason. And so far, I've seen some guys, their stuff lasts, and then I've seen other guys where they're popping motors here and left and right. And, I don't know. I'm, like I said, I'm not an advocate for it. I haven't done it, and I'm not going to do it. My dad's like, there's no chance in heck we're going to do it. So, to each his own. There's guys that love it, and there's other guys that are just like, there's no way I'm not going to do it. As far as the races up here that they say they're still going to make them run restricted or 360s, my opinion on that is, I understand if I go down to Florida or if I go out west and I want to run with those guys and that's what they run is those 360, then, I'm obligated to match what they do. That's how I feel they should have to adapt to what we do here in the Midwest because we're all 410 steps. So it's like, why penalize us for, half a dozen cars or if we're lucky, that many cars coming from the South or the West. So, I kind of, that's why like I said, I just I'm not an advocate for it. You know, let's just run 410s. That's what we do out here, and let's go have some fun. Quit splitting all the cars up, and let's just have a good time.
Amen. So there we go with Jimmy McKeon talking Pavement Sprint Car Racing. We've talked in the past about things that maybe could be better in Pavement Sprint Car Racing, but let's turn that around a little bit. What do you think right now with the pavement side of the deal is better right now than it's been maybe ever? Like something that's really going for it, something that's really positive right now.
Yeah, I mean, the asphalt sprints are, you know, it feels like they're on a steady uphill drive again. I mean, over the last couple of years, it seemed like it started to dwindle, and then with the NCS guys kind of doing some stuff with the non-wing deal and running a few races, I mean, there was actually really good car counts for those races. You know, I mean, we showed up sometimes with 18, 20 cars, you know, and for a pavement sprint car deal, that doesn't sound like a whole lot, but for pavement, it was, you know, it's a really good field of cars. You know, and the Must-See Series has got a great schedule they put out so far this year, and everything about the series and what Jim Hanks and Nancy Hanks have been able to do, I think is just going to be a benefit for wing sprint cars. So hopefully it's a great year for everybody. And like I said, they brought some PV for the North-South Shootout guys. And for those seven races, I think it was seven wins. And yeah, it should be great.
Now, we obviously all circle Anderson on the calendar for the Little 500. Is there anything else in particular you maybe look at your schedule and you're really looking forward to doing? I mean, you look forward to going to the track every time, but something that's a little extra special on the schedule, perhaps?
Oh, boy. There's a few. Toledo, one, that's always main. I mean, my major contributor to our program, besides our, you know, my family and a guy named John Eckstein, B&B and Machinery Movers in Toledo here, has always been a supporter of mine since the day I stepped into a midget, I believe. And to run in the backyard here and to get the wins that we've had has just been extra special. So running Toledo is always one of the biggest events for us, for my family, the hometown, just everything. So that's probably one of my biggest ones. And then the chance to go back to Mansfield that we did last year, and again, Anderson Speedway. In Indiana, that's always one of my favorites to go to.
Well, Jimmy, I appreciate you taking time out to join us, and look forward to seeing you throughout the year, and best of luck coming up down south this weekend.
Great. Thanks, man. We're going to need it.
All right, that's Jimmy McKeon. That's going to finish up segment number two of the TJ Sideways Podcast. When we come back after the break, Scotty Thiel will join us to talk IRA sprint car racing. You're listening to the TJSideways.com Podcast.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
The Must-See Sprint Car Series is back on MAD TV. Seven races, including the Little 500. It all starts Thursday, May 12th, only on MAD TV. For more info, visit MustSeeRacing.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Blade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump-stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
Welcome back to the TJ Slide Race Podcast. Tomorrow, our feature win list is going to hit the air, but your top five leading into tomorrow's feature win list, Die Shot still leading the way with 9 feature victories. Brian Clausen up to the second spot, tied with Stephen Lyons with 8 victories, Jamie Veal with 7 wins, and Brad Sweet rounding out the top five with 6 victories. Joining us now in the Specialty Fuels and Logistics Hotline, driver, promoter, gainery ready to kick off the IRA's 50th season of racing, Scotty Thiel joining us on the line. And Scotty, I got to ask, with all this crazy weather over the past week, how much snow did you end up with last weekend?
We were getting ready to go actually down to Farmington after, well, our first plan was to go to Attica. That got canceled. And then Burlington was up next for the NFL opener, and then that got canceled. So we're like, hey, we're going to go to Farmington. But then, yeah, we got hit with probably 2-3 inches of snow, and then it turned to ice, and then this kind of made a big disaster. And the weekend before that, we, you know, got about an inch or two, and it's just, it doesn't stop snowing here in Wisconsin.
You know, well, we're kind of in the same boat on the other side of the lake. It doesn't stop snowing much here either. And
sure.
Something we can share in common there. So, you know, you got 2016 coming up here. What kind of major changes did you guys make to your program during the off season?
Well, we got a new crew guy on board, and really looking forward to him. Mike Schreiber is his name, and he's got a lot of history in sprint car racing, and it's hard to find quality help that, you know, knows what they're doing. And I think he's going to be a good fit with our program. He's going to definitely take a lot of weight off my shoulder. Last year, I was doing a lot of it myself, and you know, it wasn't an excuse. It was just a reality that it just wears and tears a guy out. And you know, so he's going to take a lot of the load off me, and hopefully, I can focus a little bit more driving aspect, and hopefully pick off some feature wins, which we lacked a little bit on last year. I only really got one feature win. It wasn't even my own car. We were driving for a guy that had a 360 around here. So that's one of the biggest changes we got. And then just focusing more on our program, making sure all of our equipment's good to go. We did have some engine issues last year, but hopefully we're over that, and we have a little bit of good luck on our side throughout the entire year. And you know, we didn't wreck a lot of stuff last year. It was just bad timing and bad luck with motors. And, you know, we had a chance at the points championship going into September last year, and then we popped a motor, and we kind of had to take a week off. And so that kind of hurt it there. But, you know, our main focus is we don't want to worry about points, just going out and having fun and getting some A-main wins, and the points thing will come itself.
Scotty Thiel joining us on the line. Now, you're a guy that's seen quite a bit of success in his sprint car career. So when you run into a season like last year, where it's going pretty decent, but you run into those challenges, how do you personally deal with that, and how frustrating was it?
Oh, man, it's very frustrating. First off, I mean, I hate losing, and that's what ended up last year. We lost a lot of races, and, you know, looking back at it, it's like, well, I could have did something different this night after watching a video, and it's like, oh, I should have did this, I should have done that, and, you know, racking it up, yeah, we should have probably had about 5 or 6 A-main wins, but it just, you know, dumb mistakes that gave them away. You know, I was leading a lot of the mains, and then just, you know, made a bad call, and we got slid for the lead, and, you know, ended up second. So, you know, we did have a lot of podium finishes, but, you know, when you're running that good and you're actually leading the thing and then you just give it away, it just, it really is frustrating. And I think I take it out more on myself than anything else. And, you know, it's like, you know, my guys are happy, you know, hey, we still had a podium, whatever, but you know, it's like, well, I still fell short of a win. And just having a frustrating year with just the dumb luck that we did, it just, it built up over time. And, you know, I was glad the season was, you know, ended when it did. It was just, I had enough and had the whole off season to kind of regroup and refocus. And hopefully we can start the season off with a clear mindset and, you know, hopefully have some good luck early on in the year. I never really have great luck starting the season off. It always comes mid-season to the end, and that's when it starts turning around. So if we could have a season where we start off winning some races, it would you know, definitely make me a little happier.
IRA getting ready to celebrate their 50th season coming up, and where you're at there in Wisconsin, there's no lack of options and avenues where you could go racing. So for someone like you, what makes IRA an attractive option?
Well, I mean, they, like you said, they've been around for 50 years now, and Steve Sinclair has really built this group to, you know, one of the strongest in the country. I think the smallest car count we had last year was 25 cars, and, I mean, we were kind of all shocked when that happened. Most, I think we had like 41 in one of the shows. That was just an IRA event, not sanctioned with like NSL or anything like that. So Steve has definitely done a good job getting the cars to stick with him, and you know, he does treat his people well, and it's just, it's a really good group. You know, he focused more on the working guy, or, you know, we're not traveling all over the state or all over the upper Midwest to race every other weekend, but you know, it definitely is a reasonable traveling series where a guy can work, you know, half a day on Friday, leave early if we got to go to the, you know, northern part of the state or whatever. So, you know, there are guys that complain a little bit too many Fridays, but then there's guys that complain there's not enough. So, you know, for him and even myself being in the promoter role a little bit, I understand where it gets a little bit frustrating on his token, you know, trying to please everybody. But all in all, I mean, it works out great every single year. And, you know, it's just enough amount of races, but, you know, we take the extra mile and we go to some, you know, some outside shows to, you know, make it a little bit of a longer season for us. But it's just it's a close-knit group. You know, you don't have a guy that's really the standout star. I mean, you know, 17B, he won 7 championships, and he was kind of a class of his own. But, you know, last year it definitely really showed, you know, how competitive it is. I think we had about 21 or 22 different winners of the season. You know, there was a total of like 100-some-odd different entries throughout the year. So it's just, you don't have a huge repetitive winner, and it's just close racing every single week.
Hey, you just mentioned you are involved on the promotion side of it. How many races are you promoting this year, and how has becoming a promoter of events changed your perspective as a driver and team owner as well?
Well, I've definitely learned a lot over the last couple years that we've been doing this. To date, we've promoted 3 shows so far. This year we have 2 shows on schedule at the same racetrack. We were at 2 different racetracks last year, and the one just they got a different promoter, and just trying to get the timing set, it just didn't work out with the fairgrounds where it's at. They had scheduled some stuff on top of it, but yeah, we're going to be promoting 2 shows at Manitowoc Speedway, and it's actually going to be the last season of that racetrack. We're going to be losing that racetrack. A grocery store chain apparently bought property on the fairgrounds there, and they're going to be leveling the racetrack, but it's sad to see it go. I grew up racing there, had a lot of feature wins there. And then we had a really good event that we promoted there last year. Sellout crowd. I mean, it was just a packed event, bigger than I ever expected it to be. So we're gonna try to double up that one this year with 2 shows, and then yeah. I mean, it definitely, as far as the driver aspect, getting, you know, mad at a promoter about, you know, making a call of canceling it early or not catering to them enough, I've definitely handled both sides now, and I'm a little bit more lenient when someone makes a call that a lot of people complain about, because I understand what they're going through and the risk that there is, you know, especially like me. I don't have a big cushion, I guess you could call it, going into the shows. I kind of just wing it and hope for the best as far as breaking even. I do have a couple of good sponsors that always follow us, but, you know, they can only do what they can do, and we appreciate every dollar that they sponsor, you know, our events with, but it's still a big investment to make, especially to bring, you know, any bigger series in. You're going to spend a lot of money, so understanding the role of making sure you're covering yourself, but trying to please everybody, it's a big gamble you got to take. But I've learned to appreciate promoters a little bit more after doing it myself.
Do you think that's something you may want to do eventually full time, like have your own racetrack here to own or manage?
I mean, it's been definitely a thought that's gone through my mind. You know, I guess how it came about, it kind of started off as a joke. Someone posted on Facebook one day that they checked into a racetrack and IRA wasn't there for like 15 years. And I went to one of my partners now in the steel, and I said, you know, hey, I said, it'd be pretty cool to kind of promote our own show there. And that was actually in August of 2014. And then we ended up signing a contract at the fairgrounds, booking IRA, and throwing in a last minute date in the end of September. And we broke even for sure. it wasn't like we made a record amount of money, but we definitely broke even, and it was just a seat of our pants type of thing. And then from there, it just kind of took off. Like, hey, we could maybe do more of these. And is it something I want to do full time? I think I could see me, you know, trying to do more shows. I mean, that's my goal, is I want to do more and more shows every single year. It's just, it's tough trying to be a promoter and then yet wanting to race as well. So that's where I kind of put myself in that position, because I always promote IRA events and I race IRA. So fortunately, I got a couple good partners that help me out and kind of take it all under control as I go out and have fun and race it. So, you know, it's not like everybody's like, oh, well, Scotty's promoting this show. Hopefully, you know, he doesn't go out and, you know, rig it where I end up winning, which that would never, ever happen. But, you know, it's just people have them mindsets once in a while, and you just got to get over that. But, you know, it's a lot of work to put a show on. So, you know, the more and more that we try to do in a year, you know, it takes a lot of work. So, in order to be doing it full time, I mean, you got to have a good team behind you to help you, just the marketing aspect and getting flyers posted and just organizing everything in general. You know, I don't know how SLS does it. You know, they got like 31 shows. I mean, they got to have a full plate all the time. So it's just, would I like to get to their status one day? You know, possibly, but I just know it's going to take a lot of hard work and a lot of good people to make that a reality.
Sky, one of the things that's interesting is you're starting your season probably one of the most challenging races of the year. You're going to LaSalle Speedway. IRA shows are tough. You're going to LaSalle. You have MOA involved too, and you're kind of in neutral ground for a lot of other, you know, it's accessible for a lot of other drivers and series from other places. How challenging are those two events at LaSalle with the co-sanctions?
It definitely is a tough event. I mean, they always get anywhere from, you know, 35 to 40 cars every time that you know, that we go there, and you know, it's just qualifying is the biggest thing that sets your night up. We last year, the beginning of the year, we you know, we did okay. We ended up, I think, like 10th, but we struggled in qualifying. We had some brake problems, so we got out late, only got one lap, and it just really put us behind the eight ball the whole time. And the second event, we did okay. We qualified good. We started up front and won the heat race, you know, so we started in the top 10 of the feature, and I think we ran fifth. So it's just, you know, it's one of them things that qualifying starts the night off on how it's really going to go. I mean, if you qualify good, you can just kind of take a deep breath and know that you're going to be more towards the front, especially when you got that many race cars. It's just tough coming from behind and trying to challenge your way up to just make it into the show right away. And then, you know, the B mains are like a gauntlet. It's just, there's so many cars and so many decent guys that are in there that, you know, it's going to take an arm and a leg just to get up front and, you know, transfer top four or whatever it's going to be. So it's just, you know, Moe's got a, you know, solid field of cars, and then IRA brings, you know, just as many, if not a little bit more, of guys that are capable of winning. So it's just, it's really tough to just make it into the show, and then from there, if you can make it in, then it's just trying to race your way to the front.
See, that's what happens when you don't do this for a year, is things randomly go off. In the studio, Scotty Thiel joining us amongst random drop music that started out of nowhere. One of these days we'll get a producer in here. But Scotty getting things done. A big IRA MOA show this weekend. And Scotty, I'm sure you have a few people to thank, too, that make your deal possible.
Oh, yes, definitely. We have a great group of people behind us, and a lot of good marketing partners that have been sticking with us through the years, and we got a couple new ones this year. So first things first, I got to thank Professional Plating Inc. They're out of Brilliant, Wisconsin. They've been with us since 2011, and Larry over there has been just a tremendous support to our program and stuck with us, and through the good and the bad, and he gets it. But we have a clean operation, and that's what he likes about everything. Even if we have a bad night, he's just, hey, you got to take the good with the bad and go after again next week. So he's our biggest supporter, and it's great to have a guy like him around. Scott Thiel Builders, that's my parents. They've been with me since I've started when I was 6 years old, to support me through the ranks of everything and sticking their hard-earned money into it all. And then we got Complete Water, Ray Graphics, TI-22 Performance, VMS Motorsports, HRP, 6-4 Promotions. I mean, it's my own company, but, just trying to promote everything we can out of it and putting my time and effort into it all. And then, we got Velocity Race Suits, Torsion Bar Rate, QTM Brakes, Velcro Wheels. The list goes on with product sponsors and all them little guys. They add up to making, just that deal on parts, whatever it is. They definitely help make everything happen. So all of our partners are great, and I can't thank them enough for all they've done with us, this year and the years past. And we're always open to having more partners come on board. So check out scottythiel.com and drop an email. We can get you a marketing proposal and show you what we can offer as a race team, but also just as another business partner. So
one more thing,
all them guys definitely make it happen.
One more thing too, where can people find out information about the event at Manitowoc, or actually the two events there, and 6-4 Promotions?
Well, we have a Facebook page. We're working on getting a website, but it's 6-4 Promotions. 6-4 is all spelled out. So 6-4 Promotions, that's on Facebook. Or you can go to manitowocspeedway.com. Also, irasprints.com has a link to it that can get you to the racetrack and the website there. And it all links itself together. Gets to the Facebook page, the event page, and then on our Facebook we have random drawings for tickets and stuff like that, giveaways and whatnot. So Facebook is our biggest supporter right now, and we're working on getting a website here pretty quick. So I can always check that out to see what we got brewing up. And, we just don't always promote events. We also try to help out drivers and teams with marketing proposals and stuff like that. So we're kind of a all-around motorsports marketing company that tries to help just the racing community in general.
Well, Scotty, best of luck this weekend. And who knows, maybe I'll make that 5.5 hour or so drive up there to see it, Manitowoc, in a few weeks.
I appreciate everything and having me on tonight. And, definitely should come on by. We can maybe get something figured out with tickets for you.
Yeah, we can work out on that. Scotty Thiel joining us. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Bill Wright and I are going to preview the Knoxville Raceway season opener. You're listening to TJ Sideways Podcast. Stay tuned.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
The must-see Sprint Car Series is back on MAB TV. 7 races, including the Little 500. It all starts Thursday, May 12th, only on MAB TV. For more info, visit MustSeeRacing.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Glade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
Thank you, Beth. Final segment of tonight's podcast. And joining me on the Specialty Fuels and Logistics Hotline to preview the season opener at the Knoxville Raceway, Bill Wright joining us on the line. And Bill, we're just talking off the air. A lot of really exciting stuff coming up this season at the Knoxville Raceway.
Absolutely, Todd. First of all, it's good to be on your show again. Good to have you back doing podcasts. But a lot of excitement this year in Knoxville, as there is every year. You know, a raise in purse a bit for the drivers. We're going to have 9 or 10 National Sprint League shows, and those are going to pay $5,000 to win. Not only that, but they're going to pay really well back through the field. I think it's $3,800 for second, $3,200 for third, and so on down the line. So I think it's going to be, draw some cars, definitely a lot of visitors this year as well.
Now, we're in the second year of the NSL being involved with Knoxville. How immediate do you think did you start seeing the impact just in a Knoxville Raceway perspective of the NSL being in the area?
Definitely Knoxville, we really had the cream of the crop probably the last 5 years as far as drivers coming in. You know, Lasoski's come off the tour, and he's here on a weekly basis. You know, you've had Terry McCarl and Brian Brown pretty much every week, and I think we've had really some elite talent there. And then last year the National Sprint League came in, and you see guys on a more common basis like Brian Clausen and Bill Baylog, you know, the North Pole Nightmare, and some of those guys who came down and really added spice to it as well. Mark Dobmeyer and Tim Kading came back to run the NSL, so you know that definitely cranked it up another notch.
Bill, who are maybe some dark horses? We expect to hear about the Lasoskis and all of those people going into every season, but who might be a good dark horse in each of the three divisions at Knoxville that fans should keep their eye on in the 2016 season?
Well, I don't think a lot of people are talking about Craig Delansky, and he's teamed up with Todd Renfro, and of course Todd's been a crew chief for years and years on the Outlaw Trail course, originally from Maryland and the central PA area, and started out with Bobby Allen and that type of thing, and moved on out. Now he lives in Des Moines, and he's got his own team. He's he's realized the dream of being a car owner, and he's hooked up with Craig Delansky and about midway through last year, and they were really impressive. Won an NSL show in Des Moines, and I think they're going to be maybe one of the dark horses that not a lot of people are talking to. Of course, an obvious one too is Justin Henderson, who hasn't won a championship in Knoxville in the 410 class, but definitely stout in that team with Brian Sundby, really, really consistent week in and week out.
And, of course, the 360 and 305 divisions. Your 305 division in particular, I noticed there were a lot of 305 cars there at practice night last Saturday. What's the gauge on both of those divisions health-wise? How are they doing?
The 360s had a little bounce back last year as far as our car count goes. They've kind of been caught in between as far as the 305s and the 410s. You know, in Ohio, you have the 305s going right into the 410 ranks, and here they've kind of been caught in the middle. What was once the economy class, you know, really costs big money these days. We're going to see Josh Higday's son, Cade. He's going to move up into the 360 ranks as a rookie this year in that class, as well as Rob Weef, who's the son of Bob Weef. So a couple really familiar last names anyway around these parts, and they'll be rookies in that class this year, and it should be interesting, but it's going to be Clint Garner, you know, and I assume Justin Henderson, too, going to run the 360 class every week, and Brian Sundby will be going for the owner title there as well. So that'll be really interesting. Calvin Landis, many sprint car fans remember Calvin. He won many features over his career down in Arizona and also at Knoxville, and I'm going to pick him for one of the dark horses this year in the 360 class. As far as that goes. As far as the 305s, last year was the biggest year we've had yet for 305s. Of course, it was Stacy Alexander. He kind of caught everybody by surprise and won that championship. But this year I'm looking for McKenna Hassey. There were rumors that she'd be moving up to the 360s, but she's going to be staying in the 305s. And, of course, she became the first female sprint car winner at Knoxville Raceway last year. She won two features, and she's really pumped. I talked to her Saturday. She's really excited for this year, ready to get going. And she's got a good head on her shoulders. She was a valedictorian in her class, of course, and she's at Drake University in Des Moines, which is a tough school to get into. And I look for good things for McKenna this year. And I'm going to put her as my dark horse for the 305 class.
Now, with McKenna, we can even get a little bit of her, you know, notoriety out here. They do a really good job with her social media outlets and whatnot. But when she won at Knoxville, what kind of impact did that have out there media-wise, like attention-wise for Knoxville Raceway? How much attention did that bring to you guys?
Well, she was on ESPN, so that brought quite a bit. She was interviewed on ESPN. Of course, the local news stations picked it up. We have a sound-off sports show on Sunday nights. It's live on one of our Des Moines stations. She was on there, it just got a lot of run. I think we got a lot of new young fans out of it as well here in this area, and that's really what we need. And it seems like some of these younger drivers we have, they bring their friends along, and you know, I talked to her about that a little bit last week, and I was saying, are there some of these college girls you can get involved here, you know, a little bit, and she thought maybe there would be. So I think it brings young fans along when you get new blood winning, especially young people. And it being a female, it didn't hurt anything. But I think McKenna just wants to be seen as, you know, one of the best drivers, not one of the best female drivers.
I would agree with that sentiment, just reading our post as well. You guys have one of the best sports facilities in the whole state. And there is more competition for the entertainment dollar all the time, even where you're at, pretty much everywhere. What is Knoxville Raceway doing to kind of make themselves stand out? I mean, you have the beautiful facility, but what does Knoxville seem to be doing to try to get people there to experience it?
Well, that might be a better question for Kendra, one of my former columnists at TJ Slideways. Kendra Jacobs, of course. Yeah. Taking over here as the marketing director. But I think, I know that there's going to be fan giveaways. There's been some town hall meetings over the off season here where people can come in and talk about their experiences at Knoxville Raceway and really talk to the people who work here and see what they want to get the fans' perspective, what's needed, those types of things. I know there's going to be some giveaways. This year, for the first time, every race is going to be free for 12 and under, outside of the Knoxville Nationals. But, you know, so we have free for 12 and under every week, which I personally thought we should have did a long time ago. We've done it once a month the past several seasons, and those nights are packed. So hopefully that's going to have a really good impact as well. You talk about the stretch of the entertainment dollar, and you can't get much better than free for your kids when you're taking them out to go somewhere.
And the ticket price there for a weekly show is very reasonable, I thought. And I think if you get them in there, you'll get them hooked, because there are nice facilities, but let's be real. There's two or three, we'll say like four or five, to be honest, like almost stadium-like experiences in sprint car racing, and you guys in Knoxville have one of them.
Yep, absolutely. And, of course, the new video boards we got a couple of years back at the Nationals have really improved things there as well, you know, with the big HD scoreboards, those types of things. We've made some improvements to the suite areas and things like that. And it's $15 for a weekly show. And, you know, most weeks you get between 80 and 90 sprints, you know, and per dollar, I don't think you're going to beat that anywhere in the world as far as the number of sprint, if you're a sprint car fan.
I'll let you know a little secret. Whenever I'm not at the track on Saturday night, if I'm home, I'm watching on the cushion. I mean, that's the one I will sit down and buy is the Knoxville Weekly Show, because a lot of people might say, well, it's a half mile. The racing probably isn't that good. I can tell you from watching those shows on the cushion, there's great weekly racing at Knoxville.
Oh, absolutely. And some would say it's the best racing of the year. And, you know, it's not always in the 410 class, you know, every night. We had probably the best race of the year last year was a weekly show that Calvin Landis won in the 360s when we had a lot of ASCS National guys in the field. And he was able to get up there. And we had a lot of three-wide racing. And Knoxville, even though, you know, you and I have traveled a lot and seen a lot of different tracks, and we'd say, you know, the small tracks, usually there's really good racing there. But Knoxville is one of the big tracks, one of the few big tracks, where you get side-by-side racing, you know, almost every week. It's really a novelty to have a track that size and that shape to have racing like as close as we do. And we have it each and every week in all three classes.
Yeah, it seems like to me, just watching on the pay-per-views and stuff, especially the past 4 or 5 years, the track has been extremely racy almost every night. I mean, you used to get those off nights, but those are few and far between now.
No, absolutely. And you know, going here my whole life, I really, you can't count many nights where it's a bad track. You know, the R word, the cuss word, rubber, you know, you just don't see it here. Maybe once every 2 or 3 years, you might see rubber down here, you know, whereas some tracks it's expected. It's a testament to the Duncan family, of course, Dick Duncan years ago. And then now his son, Chris Duncan, who does such a good job with the track, and his family. They do just a wonderful job. And there's almost every night there's a top and bottom out there. And that's what you need for good racing.
Well, Bill, we look forward to seeing everything on Saturday. And if people want more information about Knoxville Raceway, where can they find it?
Well, KnoxvilleRaceway.com. I mean, it's pretty easy. We got a bit of everything you need on there, from history to current results, to our schedule, to ticket prices, to get your national tickets, and just a couple clicks away there, right at KnoxvilleRaceway.com.
Well, Bill, this is our 20th year at TJSlideways.com. It's kind of amazing to move this stuff away from Knoxville, but could you imagine we'd still be sitting here doing this 20 years ago when we first met?
No. It's funny you say that. I was sitting here about 2 months ago, and I'm like, I have 20 years worth of stuff sitting here, because I've saved everything, because I'm a pack rat. I got everything I've written, everything, you know, all the interviews I've done, audio and all that sort of thing. And I'm like, I need to put this on a website. So look for me to launch a website here pretty soon with a lot of history on it and stuff like that. So
you better get to work. That's a lot of stuff. I can tell you that.
Well, it's going to be happening here about May 1st or so. I'm releasing it. I mean, I've spent hours and hours on it, and We're gonna do in-depth interviews. One of the videographers from Knoxville and I are gonna do some interviews to put some fresh stuff on there, and hopefully we're gonna get a little input from the fans around the country, because that's really how I started, was sending stuff to you and of course Alan over at Hose Heads, and And I was just a guy in the stands and writing what I thought. And I kind of want to get back to that and have some people do that and contribute. And I'm gonna try to give them a place to do that and a forum to do that. And that's kind of how I got my start. And it was 20 years ago. Believe me, I realize that.
So, oh, believe me.
It's kind of weird that Kendra's coming here now because, you know, we were fellow columnists at TJ Slideways, if you remember that.
You know, it's amazing to think who's come through this place and has cut and kind of got their teeth cut here when you think about it. But it's been an amazing ride, I can tell you that. And looking forward to it. I'm not slowing down a bit, though. 20 years, I'm already waiting to see how I'm going to make it to 30.
You know the one thing I want you to bring back, though, and that's the ice cream social. We need to do that again.
Yeah, but, you know, I thought about that this year, and I'm trying to figure out where in the world we can have it now. But we might have to work on that a little bit. We got some time till August. I have that 10 a.m. slot at the Hall of Fame, but who wants to eat ice cream on Wednesday at 10 o'clock in the morning in Knoxville?
But, I'll eat it anytime. You just come up with a time, and we'll do it.
So. All right. Well, Bill, appreciate you being on, and look forward to seeing you guys in action over at Knoxville Raceway this Saturday.
Yeah, it's great to be with you, Todd, and good luck with the podcast. I'm glad it's back.
All right. Bill Wright from the Knoxville Raceway joining us. And that is going to conclude this edition of the TJSlideways.com podcast. Of course, I'd like to thank Bill and Jimmy McCune and Skyfield for joining us this evening. If you enjoyed the podcast, make sure to rate it on Stitcher and iTunes. And you can interact with us on social media, Twitter at TJSlideways, the Facebook fan page for TJSlideways.com, and email podcast@TJSlideways.com. Thank you and good night.